You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday Morning Worship Service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. And this counts for today, but not for Sunday. Happy 4th of July to you. Glad to see you in God's house on this Independence Day, here to hear God's word, here to worship. This week, and I think for the next couple of weeks, the focus of our readings from God's word and therefore our sermon text is going to shift a little bit. We're going to hear from God's word about meaningful ministry. When God tells us to serve souls with his word, he is the one who puts meaning behind that. And particularly today, we see that God tells us and urges us to meet any rejection that may happen, not with fear, but with resolution. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting 2 in the front of the blue hymnal, beginning on page 172. At some point this evening, if you could, please do sign the Friendship Register. That is the black book that's in each row of pews. Thank you for doing that. And we'll begin our worship then with hymn 639, God Has Spoken By... Or is it 639 or 630, Jim? 639? 639. There was an oops in the bulletin. It's 639.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Barrow, Wisconsin.
It's 6:30. Okay, glad we... In the hymnal, it is 639. It might say 6:30 in the bulletin, but it is 639. Okay, thank you. Glad we got that figured out. Now let's worship. Hymn 639, God Has Spoken by His Prophets.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Erter will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Get on Board with Jesus. Our worship this morning will follow setting 2, that's found on page 172 of the Christian Worship Hymnal. Our congregation will open the service in singing hymn number 639 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, God Has Spoken by His Prophets, hymn number 639 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Thank you.
Setting two, beginning on page 172. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. Serve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, eternal and righteous God, you revealed your divine word to teach us what we should do and what we should avoid. Strengthen and lead us by your Holy Spirit that we serve you in a new obedience here until we come to complete holiness before you in the life to come. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Our first reading from God's Word, chosen for today, is recorded in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and this is going to be the basis for the sermon tonight. He said to me, he being God, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or of their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 27C. If you'd like the music for that, you will find it in the Gray Psalter book, not the Blue Hymnal, the Gray Psalter, on page 135.
We'll join the congregation in singing Psalm 72C, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." This may be found in your Psalter on page 135. Psalm 27C, page 135 of the Psalter.
Our second reading is taken from Paul's second letter to young pastor Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Paul would soon be going to heaven after writing these words. So these words have very special meaning. He urges young pastor Timothy to be faithful in his call. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please stand. Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Here Jesus meets rejection, yes, even in his own hometown, with resolution. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that's been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day, hymn 901, O Christians, Haste.
The congregation will now sing hymn 901 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. O Christians, Haste, hymn number 901 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the Old Testament reading we heard a few minutes ago. We're actually going to tack some verses onto that, and I'll read those verses now. So we have already heard Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to pick up with verse 8 as follows, where God says to Ezekiel, "But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He said to me, "Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them." This is God's word. In Christ Jesus, your Christian friends, most recently it was June 21st, a few Fridays ago, I had to go to one of my favorite places, and by favorite I mean not favorite, where you hear those two dreaded words, open wide. You know the place I'm talking about. It was the dentist office. And yes, I heard those words several times. And I didn't like it any time that I heard them. And those words can just be the worst, because when you hear them, that means that you are going to have something shoved into your mouth that maybe isn't going to be a pleasant experience. It could be those big plastic things that they put in there when they take the x-rays. Kind of makes you gag when they put them in. Or those cleaning tools that the dental tech uses to scrape your teeth and that produces a sound that you hear like inside your head. It's like nails on a chalkboard. And then there's the really dreaded sound. The drill, right? When you hear those words, open wide, not good things are going to happen, right? They are words that you really don't want to hear. But as much as it pains me to say it, it's good to hear those words. Because yes, despite maybe some unpleasantness, that means that your teeth are getting taken care of, so that you can have good dental health, which we hear all the time is an important part of your overall health. Means that your teeth are getting cleaned, or you're getting a cavity filled, or you're having some kind of preventative care done. I may not want to hear those words open wide, but I need to hear it. And most importantly, I need to do it. If you had to summarize what God was saying to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapters 2 and 3, and you could only use two words to do it, I think open wide fits the bill pretty well, I should say. See, God is giving his marching orders to his prophet as he begins his service. And if you recall, a few minutes ago when we heard those words, those marching orders didn't exactly sound fun, didn't they? But what God was telling his prophet to do was nonetheless good. It would be good for him, and yes, it would be good for those whom he would serve. In the same way, God's marching orders to us Christians don't always sound enjoyable. But make no mistake about it, it's good for us not just to hear those marching orders, but to do it. So dear Christians, get ready and open wide. We got to set the scene a little bit for Ezekiel chapters 2 and 3 here so that we understand the original intention and meaning of these words. Ezekiel, yes, he's being called by God to be a prophet. At what time? At the time of the divided kingdom, actually right before the southern kingdom was destroyed. Remember how Israel in the Old Testament ended up being a unified nation under God's rule, but then the Israelites said, no, we want a king, and so God says, okay, it's not going to work out well for you, but fine, here, have a king. And it was good under David, and it was good under Solomon, and then everything went downhill. The kingdom splits in two. After a bunch of rebellion by the people against God, the northern kingdom gets wiped off the map by the Assyrians, and then a short while later, at least in God's terms, relatively speaking, the southern kingdom was going to face the same fate at the hands of the Babylonians. And how the Babylonians did it was they would actually come in and conquer a place, but they'd take the best and the brightest off back to Babylon into exile to benefit the Babylonian Empire. Ezekiel was among the first group of exiles to leave Judah. That group numbered about 10,000. And God had a job for Ezekiel to do while he was going to be with his fellow Jews in captivity. Speak his word to the Israelites who were in that first wave of captives. If you were to go back and read Ezekiel chapter 1, you'd hear Ezekiel describe this scene. Like God gives him this vision. He sees heaven. He sees God sitting on his throne. It is this fantastical thing. And chapter 1 concludes with Ezekiel falling flat on his face down because he's terrified because he's in the presence of God. God is on his throne speaking his commission to Ezekiel. And that's where chapter 2 picks up. So from his throne, what does God call Ezekiel? Son of man. And just think about that juxtaposition, that comparison there. All Ezekiel is a son of man, a human being. So you got Almighty, Holy God ruling the universe on his throne in all power and all glory. And this sight is so overwhelming that Ezekiel is convinced that he's ruined, that he's going to meet his end very soon. And then you have little itty-bitty son of man Ezekiel, mortal, finite, not holy. What is he doing there? Why is he there? Because God wants him there. Because the Almighty, Holy God and ruler of the universe had something to say to him, specifically had a job to give to him. So Ezekiel is all ears at this point. I mean, imagine the reverence, imagine the awe that young Ezekiel had to have had seeing all of this and hearing this. Just a little bit of an aside here. Do I approach hearing God talking to me with the same reverence and the same respect and the same awe? No, we don't get to hear God's actual voice booming to us, making us feel like we're ruined. But make no mistake, God still talks to us. How? In his word. When I open my Bible, when I'm studying God's word, when I'm hearing somebody else proclaiming it to me, am I approaching those words with reverence and respect and humility? Something to consider, especially in view of what we're going to hear about the Israelites in a little bit. So God says, hey, Ezekiel, son of man. And by the way, remember, Ezekiel is flat on his face right now. So he says, stand up. Stand up like a man. Ezekiel 2 goes on, as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Boy, that's not an accident. God speaks, and the Spirit goes to work. The Spirit makes things happen. God speaks to us through his word, and it's the same thing. The Spirit goes to work. The Spirit makes things happen. The Spirit enabled Ezekiel to do what God said. That's what the Spirit does for us. God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to do what God says to us. And then come the marching orders. Listen to him again. Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites. Wow, Ezekiel gets to be the herald, the spokesperson, the press secretary for the almighty ruler of the universe. This is really cool. This is awesome. What a great job Ezekiel's going to get. I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I'm sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Quick show of hands, who would want to take that job? Not seeing any hands raised up. I wonder why. Ezekiel's going to be going to stubborn and obstinate people. The picture here painted are the Israelites, and they're always wanting to pick a fight with God. They're always contentious against him. God says this, they want that. God says that, they want this. God says go right, they say, hey, left looks better. And it had been that way since God had adopted them as his people in the Old Testament. Remember the whole business at Mount Sinai? God comes down on Mount Sinai, confirms his covenant with the Israelites, saying, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my special people, now just do what I say. And what happens days later? The golden calf. Making an animal out of gold to worship as their God. And throughout their wandering in the wilderness that happened after that, at every turn, they said what? Oh, life was so much better in Egypt. And God brings them to the promised land eventually. He's faithful to his promises, yet they still repeatedly turn away. As we mentioned a little bit ago, they weren't satisfied with God being their ruler. They said, we want to be just like everybody else. Give us a king. God says, it's not going to work out for you, but fine. And after the time of David and Solomon, with very few exceptions, there was a history of ruler after ruler leading them astray, leading them away from God. He sent his prophets to them, but they did not good things to those prophets, mistreated them, or killed them, one after another. But God just doesn't give up, does he? And so now it was time for God to speak to his people again through yet another prophet, Ezekiel. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet's been among them. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. God's repeating himself, right? I wonder why. Know what God was and wasn't saying about Ezekiel's job description here. What's his job? Pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward. Open wide, Ezekiel, and speak my word. That's it. That's all. Say, thus says the Lord, and then say it. Whether or not they would listen wasn't up to Ezekiel, was it? His job was not to get results. It wasn't to speak God's word, and then if that word fell on deaf ears, you know, kind of massage the message a little bit, kind of change it around, make it a little more palatable, a little more attractive to them. No, God said, open wide and speak my word. No more, no less. That's it. And that is the job, dear Christians. That is the job that God gives to you and to me. And you know, it's pretty uncanny, right? God's description of the Israelites is a pretty accurate description of a sinful world, isn't it? A sinful world like the one we find ourselves living in, right? Where up is down and down is up, where God says go right, and sinful people say, no, left looks better. A sinful world where the killing of unborn children is called choice. Where right and wrong are not measured by an objective standard handed down by the ultimate power, i.e. God. But no, right and wrong is determined by the ever-changing winds of popular opinion. We live in a sinful world where sin is glorified and godliness vilified. And whether we realize it or not, whether we're too prideful to admit it or not, the fact is that as members of such a society, of such a sinful world, we too are just as guilty of rebelling against what God's will is, against what God says. God says, love your neighbor. What do I say? I say, oh, but my neighbor is the worst. God says, be kind and compassionate and forgiving. And I say, but I have a right to be angry because I was wronged. God says, give and sacrifice for the benefit of others. And I say, but what's going to be left for me? But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Boy, who wants to eat that? Huh? That doesn't sound very appetizing. Words of lament and mourning and woe? If Ezekiel was going to turn away from the job that God was giving him, then he was going to be just like the Israelites who had rebelled against him. And so step one in Ezekiel doing his job was to actually receive the words that God had given him and to take them in and consume them himself. Likewise, we need strength for the task ahead, right? If we are going to be messengers of God's word, we're not up to the task by ourselves. We're just like Ezekiel, people of unclean lips who are sinful. We need God to purify us, just like Ezekiel did. We need God to come and change our way of thinking, change our priorities, turn us away from our own selfish desires, and turn us toward what God desires. And God does just that for Ezekiel. By saying, here, take this and eat it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Yes, Ezekiel ate the scroll. Remember, this is a vision. This is not God telling us to literally, physically consume our Bibles. What's the point? Open wide and consume God's word. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Not because it's painful, but because it's good for you. Yes, in that word are words of lament and mourning and woe, and those words are going to convict you of your sin, and they need to. They have to. You need to know your need for a Savior. But that's not all God's word does. How does it taste to Ezekiel? It tastes sweet as honey. There's a sweet message in that word. A message of forgiveness. A message of salvation. The message that God Himself in Christ has paid our debt in full. Yes, consume the Word of God, because that is a message of a gracious and compassionate and merciful God who loves you so much that He became a human being for you and lived in your place and died your death, who took your sins upon Himself. And because He did that, now God has taken your sin, and as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed your transgressions from you. Though your sins are like crimson, though they're the brightest, darkest, deepest red, God has made them white as snow in the blood of Jesus. All that rebellion, all that pride, all that I know better than God attitude has been borne away by Christ Jesus. Taste how sweet it is that God says to you, I love you. And I forgive you. You are my child, and nothing is going to separate you from me. You are mine forever. And you will find that that sweet message gives you exactly what you need to do the task that God gives you to do, no matter how daunting, no matter how challenging that task may seem. You have that sweet message to share with others. And you may convince yourself that, well, this is going to fall on deaf ears. Who's going to listen? And what do you know, when you speak it, people do. Not everybody, not even most. Maybe just a few. But nonetheless, they do. And as you speak it, you have God's promise that He is going to be with you, that He is going to lend you His power to accomplish the job that He has given you. Your job is simply to speak God's word. God takes care of the results. God does the rest. And so just like He said to Ezekiel, so too He says to you, don't be afraid. You got nothing to fear. You really don't. It's His power at work, not yours. It's His word that you're speaking, not yours. But He makes you a part of it. A part of His work of bringing souls to eternal salvation. What an awesome job that is, even if you're speaking to people who are rebellious and stubborn and obstinate. What a marvelous thing that God would use you, your words, your actions, your gifts, to bring souls to forgiveness and salvation. So, dear Christians, yes. At the dentist's office, we may not want to hear it. But hearing God's word, absolutely we do. Open wide. Open wide and receive that word of God, that sweet message of sin and grace, law and gospel. And then having received it and consumed it and having been strengthened by it, open wide and proclaim it. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll join together to confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated. And we pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge with thanks that all we have and enjoy is a gift from your gracious hand. And especially today, we come before you in heartfelt appreciation for our nation and its people. We thank you for enabling us to worship you in freedom and to serve you without fear. You have enriched us with the bounties of farm and factory, the beauty of forest and mountain, and the marvels of medicine and science. And for all these blessings, we praise and glorify you. And so we ask you to look with favor upon our nation. Preserve our cherished liberties. Enable our leaders to govern with wisdom, honesty, courage, and justice. Protect those who serve in the armed forces and those who maintain peace and safety in our communities. Give us willingness to obey our nation's laws and to work for the common good. Keep our financial institutions secure and our economy strong. Bless our fields that they may produce abundant harvests. Guard us from calamities of nature and accident, and spare our land from the ravages of disease and epidemic. Teach us not to worry, but to cast all our cares on you. Strengthen the homes of our nation. By your Spirit, lead husbands and wives to love each other, parents to nurture their children, young adults to assume responsibility, and children to show respect. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. To you, O Lord, we bring our thanks and our requests. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you, please leave that in the alms box on your way out, if you haven't already left it on your way in. And with that, we will continue with the sacrament on page 183. Would the congregation please stand?
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them, to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord God, you are worthy to receive thanks and praise from all people. You created the world and all who live in it, and in your mercy you saved us. We give thanks to you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, Though in very nature God, he took the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin and redeemed us from its curse and penalty. He rescued us from the terrors of death and restored eternal life with you. He conquered our enemies and gained for us the kingdom of grace and glory. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood, and lead us to remember his suffering, death, and resurrection. Forgive our sins and fill us with the hope of new life in heaven. Hear our prayers and receive our thanks as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 at Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on St. John's Lutheran Church and Schools Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913, are appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you. For more information about our ministry, you may go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. We thank you for joining us for worship today and look forward to worshiping with you again soon.
Please come forward, all things are ready.